Hello and welcome to the Footvey English podcast in collaboration with World Football Index, a unique mix of fandom and journalism. Footvey English is your one-stop shop for all things Venezuelan football in the English language, from the men's to the women's and the domestic leagues to the national teams.
Today I am joined by Matt Furness of Stats Performs Opta, and I'm very happy to be talking not just to Matt but about the deal between Liga Footvey and Stats Perform that we'll see Opta be the data provider and platform for Liga Footvey on a media and club level for the next 3 years. A move that I think will massively aid the growth of Venezuelan football in the next 3 years, not just from a data and storytelling side, which for me will enhance the relationship and fan engagement, but also for the potential of Venezuelan clubs to enhance their reputation on a recruitment level overseas, not just Venezuelan players getting the attention that I believe that they deserve overseas, but also perhaps we will see more exciting transfers into Venezuela, which we sort of have seen in the past couple of years with the signings of players such as Samson Akinyula in the beginning of this year, Jeremy Vachu from the French second division. So, Matt, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Not bad, thank you. You well?
I'm very well. I'm pleased that you've joined me. I know that it's 8:30 in England. It's only 3:30 over here in Venezuela. So I appreciate you joining me late at night on a Thursday.
No worries. It means I can avoid Brighton versus Man United. So I'm happy about that.
Yes. And a Watford fan, you said, right?
I am, yeah. A club, not many clubs in England have had Venezuelan players. We've had one, not that he played very often for us. But yeah, I am a Watford fan. My sins.
You did get to see him score a belter. I think it was against Coventry in the League Cup 21-22.
I didn't see that. So I'm a season ticket holder, right? And He scored in two different games, neither of which I went to. So I have seen him play. He played in the FA Cup. I went to Woking away. We played Woking in the FA Cup when we were quite good. I think that was the year we got to the final. And he played in that game, played quite well, actually. But we never saw him again the rest of that season. And then he kind of gets wheeled out the League Cup in successive seasons. And that's it again. He gets injured or goes on loan somewhere random. So, we've lost him now.
Have you seen Salomon Rondon score? I know he wasn't obviously a Watford player, but
I have. And as an Opta man, I have a fantastic Opta fact about Salomon Rondon that I thought you might like, actually.
I'm going to like
one, it. He is one of only two players in Premier League history to score a hat-trick with every goal coming from his head. So that is a fact that won't leave you. You'll remember that one, Jordan.
I will. And Dominic Bassogno, my Footvey English normal co-host on the podcast, but my co-founder of Footvey English, he loves wheeling that one out at every opportunity. Every now and then, the Premier League do the video of that of those hat-trick headers. And he always retweets it. You also had another player, although I'm not even sure if he actually ever set foot on English soil, but Williams Velasquez.
So this is Watford all over. Like, we've had 20 or 30 South American players, apparently, but we've never seen them. And then suddenly you get 3 or 4 years later, you'll get like the release list and there'll be these names on it. Like, I've never seen or heard of these players, wherever they come from. So possibly, yes, it's not one I've heard of.
During his time as a Watford player, quote, he went on loan to Real Valladolid, Sabadell, Jeff United, Chiba, and Portland Timbers too. But he's now back in Liga Footvey with UCD.
Some of our dealings and what actually was happening there. Are we actually signing him to be players? Or is it some kind of backhander or something like that? I don't know. There's some weird dealings going on at Watford over the years.
And as a Watford fan, you've also got, like, as well as being an Opta employee, also got the benefit of another, like, football data angle with the close relationship with Football Manager. Have you ever had any overlap there?
No, I do know Miles, through Watford. I spoke to him a couple of times. We don't really provide data for Football Manager because they don't need as in-depth data as such. They need a more breadth of data. So top level things, they tend to go with other providers. I think we've never really had that deal with them, but we did work with Championship Manager for a few years. I think that was when they tried to compete. The Football Manager broke, didn't it? And then Championship Manager came. But we provide all the data for EA Sports, like FIFA games, etc., like that as well. So yeah, Football Manager is not one we partner with, but yeah, I have played it quite often in the past religiously. Don't have any time anymore though.
No, neither. Two kids, full-time job. I think it was the kids that changed it because I was still playing. I was one of the guys that sort of never really got over the breakaway between Championship Manager and Football Manager. And I kept playing Championship Manager 2001-02, but with a patch. So I was still playing that version of Championship Manager up until like 2018.
Because it's simple and it's easy and it's quick. You can fly through a season in a couple of hours, unlike the new one where you actually have to almost be a football manager.
It's it a full-time takes as job. Long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like people that like will have one laptop to play Football Manager and another one with like an Excel spreadsheet. And it's like, wow, that's commitment that I can no longer commit to.
Most of those don't have girlfriends either, so.
I do like reading. Like even now I get friends like send me the articles. Like you get random articles like, you know, the player whose real life career was based on the back of Football Manager being a legend in the game. And they're like, oh, I think they're like this.
I love those. There was a book. There was a book a few years ago by a guy called Ian McIntosh, who works at The Athletic now. And it was about like Football Manager Saved My Life or something it was called.
Stole My Life?
Him, might have been that, where he was interviewing players that were great in the game and, uh-huh. and things like that. And like Cherno Samba, obviously, Football Manager legend. There was a guy, a Swedish guy, I want to say it was something like Backology or something like that.
Kennedy.
Yeah, he was one you'd always sign. You'd always start your career.
Kim Kallstrom.
Of course. And then there was Toto, I can't remember his name. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, those sort of players, you always remember those ones. That was a great book. It was good to sort of remember those things because as a teenager, you play those sort of games religiously. And that is the kind of the way that you get into the industry that I got into. You become obsessed with football, you become obsessed with the players and data and things like that. And it's that kind of leads you into those avenues where you get a bit geeky around those kind of things.
Yeah.
Stupid dates and stupid games. You just have to remember what is reality and what actually happened in the game.
Yeah. I remember like I don't ever feel like I've been like a Twitter user. Like from day one I've been like a football Twitter user. Like football Twitter being it's very very much its own inclusive world. And I remember one of the first accounts I followed, like I said to you before we started recording, Opta Joe was just iconic. Like the way the tweets are still to this day, like formatted. And I saw in your bio, you were one of the Opta Joes.
Yeah. So I started working at Opta about 16 years ago. And it was probably about, 15 years ago, we began the account. It was because like Twitter was kind of hitting off and my colleague then, Duncan Alexander, he's like really popular on Twitter as well. Like he was the one that was like, "Our Twitter's going to be big. It's going to be massive. We should try and do something with what we provide, like facts and things like that, because it's the same kind of format." And then the other guy, Rob Bateman, who's still at Opta, at Albino on Twitter, another one, he's got loads more followers than me. But those guys, we all kind of devised a plan where instead of just all of these Opta facts going to waste, why don't we just give them to the public and let them kind of have a bit of joy with football stats and facts and things like that. But also it was a way of seeding metrics that back then people were kind of like, what the hell is a chance created? What's an interception, etc. Like sounds ridiculous now, but back then people were really kind of against assists even. It was like no one really wanted to know about those because it doesn't really matter what those metrics, metrics mean. So seeding those kind of things and getting people used to them, it just blew up. Really, it was mad.
And now we even have second assists.
Yeah, second assist, secondary chance created. We've got all sorts of things, in our locker that behind the scenes.
Are you a second assist fan? My favorite stat is XA as a winger. I used to play, XA is. I wish that was around for Tyro League when I was under 14s because the amount of time you stick it on a plate. And the striker skies it. That's, you know, you never get any glory for that. But now with XA, it's beautiful.
So it's funny you say that because we do have XA or expected assists as a metric. But that is kind of looking at the how often from the pass destination did a goal get scored, etc. in that scenario. But we're sort of shifting towards more of XG assisted. So some companies have that as XA. But we have both metrics. XG assisted is literally the value of the XG of the shot. So that's the one you created. So that we tally that up a bit more. It's probably a little bit more accurate. So yeah, we're starting to use that a little bit more. But there's all these sorts of things behind the scenes. We've got like pass probability now. We have like line breaking passes and things like that as well. So there are literally thousands of metrics that we go through. And some of them are very new. We have a new tool called OptiVision, which I'm pretty sure will be available to the Venezuelan league as well, where it's mixed with tracking data. All of it's done off camera. So you can do so much more with it there. You can look at pressures, passes under pressures, players that are pressured. You can look at the velocity of passes, etc. All of those kind of things that on a top level don't mean too much, but when you combine them all and you create stories from that data and try and make it into bite-sized chunks and understandable data, it can be quite an interesting story.
Yeah, and that's a perfect segue for us to talk about the main topic of the podcast, which is the fact that Stats Performs Opta have officially, pending the press release, become the data provider and platform for Liga Footbay on a 3-year deal, something I'm incredibly excited about. For the listener, for Venezuelan football fans, what does that mean for the league?
Well, it means that they have access to the same breadth of data and the same metrics of data that we have for hundreds of leagues now, full analysis. So it's comparable to other South American leagues. So I've got a list of South American leagues here. So we official data providers for Colombian, Ecuadorian, Argentinian, Venezuelan leagues now in South America, but we do also cover Brazil, first tier and second tier, Chilean first division, Bolivian first division, Peruvian first division. We hopefully going to be doing full level data for Paraguay and Uruguay in the future as well. We do collect kind of lower level of data for those competitions, not as in-depth data. So we have a lot of data for South American leagues now. We also are the official data provider for CONMEBOL as well. So we do all of the domestic Champions League, or the Libertadores, Sudamericana, Copa America, male, female competitions, etc. Any CONMEBOL competition we cover in full data detail as well. So we have a lot of coverage in South America now.
And I see that the Opta tools are going to be available. There's going to be like media and marketing tools available, but also the clubs themselves are going to have access to tools that can aid not just like opposition analysis and next game analysis, but also on the recruitment side. How can clubs, we'll get onto media marketing afterwards, but from in your opinion, in your experience, how can clubs make the most of these tools? Because one thing that I think I've witnessed, you know, speaking to clubs and paying close attention to how clubs in Venezuela recruit, because there's a limit on how many foreign players. When I first arrived in Venezuela, it was 4 and only 3 could be on the pitch at any one time. And now it's 5 and up to 5 can be on the pitch. So foreign recruitment, the sort of lid's coming off of it, but the recruitment methods, many of the clubs, I know it sounds a bit insulting, but it's very old school. Like I know a club a couple of seasons ago that signed a player having not even seen a video. It was just an agent saying, hey, trust me, this player's good. He was all right, to be fair. He wasn't bad. But like, how can clubs make the most of Opta's tools?
Well, we have a lot of pro tools as well where we can combine video analysis. So all the clips for certain metrics are time tagged, and they can be able to look back at those clips with the metrics, etc., tie them up. But as you say, every club has access to these tools. All of the media as well have access to something called Pressbox Live, which is our kind of match center tool, game by game. We have internal search tools, like something called our query tool that will be available to people where you can search. That's probably more for media side of things, where you can search easy kind of to find data metrics for games, seasons, etc., players. But the in-depth club stuff, yeah, I mean, I don't know how useful it'll be for Venezuelan clubs as such, because I don't know where their recruitment comes from. I can imagine they probably recruit from leagues that we don't cover in full detail, and probably more youth competitions, etc. So actually what it probably will mean is it opens up a lot more opportunities for the Venezuelan league and Venezuelan clubs to sell players, probably, because these clubs in Europe now and MLS, Canada, etc., will have access to player data from Venezuela that is analyzed at the same level and by the same data provider as their league. So it's easy to benchmark. It's easy to compare. And it kind of will open up the door for Venezuelan players, I think, and players from the Venezuelan league to join other leagues as well. But it's not a bad thing, I guess, for Venezuela, if there can be some investment in Venezuelan football from these European clubs, if players are joining those, some more money in those clubs, then facilities, training, youth academies, etc., the funding could be put that way.
Mm-hmm. And you said something before we started recording about one advantage to Venezuelan leagues is they can, other leagues and other teams are going to sort of be able to benchmark and compare the level to perhaps make a more informed decision on like the strength of Venezuela and how it compares to, you know, the league of the destination club.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can, I think I heard you talk about in your previous podcast about the Opta Power rankings. I guess that's kind of an introduction into that kind of thing where you can kind of benchmark where clubs in Venezuela are compared to other clubs. And those clubs can say, well, our league, our tier is probably around the same level as those Venezuelan leagues. So they might look for value in those leagues. I can't imagine that players from Venezuela are going to be overly expensive for some of these European clubs. So it's probably it's probably an exciting league to actually start scouting at, especially with the data that didn't exist before this season. So there could be some gems hiding there. So yeah, the power rankings is something that like our company, Opta in general, have created to try and create a ranking system for all clubs across the world, men's clubs at the moment. We have about 13,500 clubs in there at the moment.
Yeah.
Any league that we cover in result level data, we can put in the power rankings. So that is probably why you'll see a lot of Australian clubs right down the bottom, because we cover a stupid amount of levels in Australia, maybe 8 or 9 levels. So those clubs are always going to be right down the bottom. I think Venezuelan clubs are around the 1,000 mark, probably. I think the highest I saw was 992, which sounds bad, but when there's 13,500 clubs in there, that's not bad.
No,
I think they're within the top 100 South American clubs or top 120 South American clubs, some of those. So it's kind of, I think it's a model that will improve over time. It's still learning from, it's only been launched about 3 or 4 months now. So it's still learning about what levels should be where, etc. We've already made some adjustments because it was quite clear quite early on that Welsh league clubs, for example, were probably too high in there. Some of them were, some of the lower league Welsh clubs were appearing above Wrexham, and we didn't probably feel that was right. So you start to adjust those sort of things as well. But on our site, theanalyst.com, you can find the power rankings. You can also find like the Devon modeling logs. You can see the thought process behind a lot of those things. And it has an explainer about what we do there as well. So it's quite an interesting concept. Maybe one day we'll be able to do something similar for players as well.
Yeah, I love the power rankings. Firstly, because it's quite an insightful tool that's publicly available. Like, I completely understand the reason for Opta and formerly Instat and Wyscout to have, you know, their data be on a subscriber basis. But to have such an insightful and useful tool available to the public was really exciting. I spent ages poking around with the power rankings. One of the sort of examples I used in the podcast, thank you for listening, by the way, is I think it was with the Ukrainian League. If you can fit League of Football by their power ranking in another league, for example, the weakest team in League of Football is UCV at the moment. If you can fit the entirety of League of Football between the top ranked team of the league and the bottom ranked team of the league, would you say it's therefore a comparably strengthened league?
I'd say it's a starting point. It's a good point to have a look at. I think that obviously there's different playing styles in certain leagues, etc. You even see that in Spain, England, Portugal, etc. There's those, I remember in Robert Enke's biography about how when he moved from Germany to Portugal, the difference in style of players for a goalkeeper was so different. It took him almost a year to acclimatize. Yeah. Those kind of things are really important. I think that the in-depth data that Venezuelan clubs and the clubs across the world have in our Opta tools are probably more suited to working those things out. You can see like the stylistic elements in each league. Certain leagues might suit other leagues. You'd imagine probably South American leagues tie closer to Spanish league, for example, in terms of style of play. And I think that's why you see a lot more, not only because of work permit reasons, but you also see a lot of those players moving over to Spain, first of all, before they come over. Portugal as well. Like that link between Brazil and Portugal has always been strong, not only because of historical links as well, but the similarity in the playing style of both leagues is really pretty much near the same. So you would, if those players want to come to Europe, Portugal is often the first place they would come, because there's probably a bit more of a link up between top five European leagues in Portugal than Brazil and those top five European leagues.
With what Stats Perform and Opta are going to be offering the league, is there anything like more you can tell us about the partnership and what will be, you know, accessible to the league? Because I've seen some of the data already being used in the TV broadcasts and also in graphics on Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, I've got a good friend who's recently started working for the league, and it's going to be part of his job to, like, you know, use your data to storytell, which is something I love about data. Like, I think I'm not like a full-blown football nerd, but I love consuming football nerd material. And I think one thing that Opta Joe and Opta in general have always, like, succeeded in is making that data, like, accessible and, like, you know, not boring, like not bogging down the traditional fan with numbers.
Well, that's why we created the analyst, Opta Analyst. It's our website. It's our editorial kind of home for storytelling. It's because we felt there was a gap in the market for, not only just for a data company, but in terms of data analysis that wasn't really condescending to football fans. Yeah. It's really hard to do work with data and get across to the average football fan, I guess. My litmus test is always kind of like, if I write an article, including data, would my dad understand it? Who's like your kind of bog standard at football fan? If he can get what I'm trying to say there, and I'm trying to explain some of the metrics, some of the kind of things you're seeing in games with data and with some of those advanced metrics as well, then I've done my job properly, because it's helping to educate football fans with different things they might want to know about football, but at the same time, not kind of going, well, don't you know about this? You should. Like, you're not one of the new age intelligent football fans. I think that's really important. So hopefully we do a good job on that with the analyst as well. But in terms of storytelling for the Venezuelan League, et cetera, and media clients, we will have tools available where they can literally export. We have something called our Optographics tool, where all of our data is embedded straight into that. It's branded up for clubs or Venezuelan leagues, et cetera, or media partners, where they can literally, at a click of a button, get that data into a really consumable graphic and data viz and push it out to fans.
And tweet it out.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like what I hope you might start to see is on our Opta Javier, who's our South American LATAM Opta account, you'll start seeing more Venezuelan league content on there as well. But we are already providing, like, kind of the Opta facts, match packs, etc., littered with Opta data, etc., to the league and clubs as well. So it's an educationary period. I think the first season is always going to be kind of, not only is it a new data provider, the data metrics might be a little bit different to what Instat had. It's also kind of getting your foot in the door with, like, new metrics and kind of understanding what's possible graphically. I think that's something we're really strong at Opta. Obviously, you know, you got in touch with Pete McKeever, is one of the best in the business for data visualizations. And that's a big thing for us as a company, making things really consumable, easy to understand. And data viz, clever data viz is the way to do that. So,
and is there like a guide or handbook, like, you know, available to League of Football's media team on, you know, on how to get across the data in the effective way that Opta itself does? Or do they just have the data and sort of it's up to them on how it gets presented?
We have a LATAM editorial team. There's probably about eight of them who will work really closely with the federation, clubs, etc. And it's kind of like a help desk where they can email in requests, etc., ask for help with certain things. And it's that kind of two-way process, that educationary process with the Opta data.
Yeah.
But obviously, we also have client management and things like that where they're working with those guys. So it won't be kind of, here's the data, just do what you want with it. We want the Opta name to be out there in Venezuela, but we also reputationally want it to be clever analysis. We don't just want numbers on screen, Opta's branding plastered all over it, and football fans thinking, this is just insane. Like, none of this makes any sense. So it's in our interest, really, to work closely with the clubs and the federation to make sure that the message gets across correctly.
Yeah, I completely agree. Because I think in one of the first broadcasts I saw using the Opta data, because all the time they were within Stat, I think because it wasn't live in-game data, which is another big deal for the partnership with Opta, I saw the data being used in-game. And, you know, I love data, but like I think sometimes data without context, particularly like if the football fan doesn't like necessarily understand it, can be completely misleading. So like it was, I think it was in the Clásico between Caracas, or rather the other way around, home team first. Deportivo Táchira hosted Caracas in El Clásico 2 weeks ago, finished 1-1. I think it was one of the first broadcasts to use the data live in-game on the TV broadcast. And it had, it wasn't a stat I personally choose to do in a live situation unless the commentator or narrator then references it. And it was like lost balls. So like Yerson Chacon, who's one of the best players in the league, he won the player of the year, not the young player of the year, the player of the year at aged 18 in 2021. He was one of the standout players at the Toulon tournament last year. It just, him at the top, like lost balls, like 20 or something. Like it was towards the end of the game. And I can imagine some football fans seeing that and thinking, ah, he's a crap player. But what it doesn't factor in for is, you know, maybe lost the ball 20 times, but maybe he completed 40 take-ons. He's had a 50% success rate, which isn't bad for a winger.
Hearing that sends a shiver down my spine. It's that is, as you say, like not great analysis and not use of data. But that's also partly our job now, is we have to then spot things like that and educate the client to say, well, this is why you probably wouldn't want to use it that way. So you've probably seen this week, Kevin De Bruyne came out and he said past success is meaningless stat, doesn't mean anything. Because it's okay for a defensive midfielder maybe who needs to keep possession, plays these short little passes, etc. Yeah. But for a player like Kevin De Bruyne, it's a very high risk, high reward position, isn't it? You're going to be playing more difficult passes, so you're going to lose possession of the ball. You have to accept that. Every season, I think the last few seasons he was at Barcelona, Lionel Messi would top the La Liga rankings for possession lost or lost balls.
Yeah.
Because he tries things that other players doesn't. And then those things occasionally come off, and that's why he's one of the world's best players, or is the world's best player, because he tries those ridiculous things that come off. But it's yeah, the players that will try and create things will have more kind of possession lost to lost balls, where it was in Venezuela. But yeah, that's an educationally thing. And I'd expect that in the first few months, you will see, we still see it in England sometimes. Like we've worked with Sky Sports and BT Sport here for decades now. And you will still occasionally see things like that. But that's down to us to educate. And that's why we create things like the analyst, to try and educate people with these metrics. And on up to Joe as well, you will see these things. And of course, sometimes we'll make mistakes. We'll sometimes maybe put a fact or tweet out there because we know it will get a reaction. And it's without not being clickbaity. But at the same time, context is really important. You'll get the occasional one where you've actually, you'll look back on it and go, yeah, maybe I was wrong there. I probably shouldn't have chased the likes and retweets and to sort the agenda a little bit. But those kind of things, you will see an improvement. I think when you get graphics on screen, I don't know what the analysis shows like in Venezuela or if you have anything like that. But in the UK, like having things like Monday Night Football, where you have Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville and whoever it is discussing those kind of things, that intelligent use of data over an hour-long period, you have time to explain these things. And actually, that's really useful. In game, sometimes it's literally just, we need to get something up. We've got this data. Let's just get something out there because it's showing that we're using this data. And that's kind of, not beneficial to anyone, really.
Yeah, we've had, so in recent years, last season, there was a TV program that, if I remember rightly, aired on a Monday night called Zona Fute. And it was like the Venezuela match of the day. It had one or two like player interviews and maybe one or two guests from one of the clubs, be it a player or, you know, the director of football or something. And then it had all the highlights from the weekend's games. This season, there hasn't been, and that was on TV. This season, there hasn't been a TV highlight show. I think the fact that the relationship with any data provider was absent for the first 7 or 8 game weeks didn't help. But every game here is shown live on TV. Last season, it was live on state free TV. This season, it's on a satellite channel, which not everyone has, but a lot of people have. But every game is shown live. Not a single game kicks off at the same time. So there's 7 games a week. And like, I literally, you know, if I don't have anything to do that weekend, I will literally watch every game live, because there will be 2 games on a Friday, 2 on a Saturday, and 3 on a Sunday, for example. And the shows normally begin 5 minutes before the game and they finish 5 minutes after. So it's literally just the game. And the halftime break, as it stands, maybe it will change now with Opta and everything that's going to be available to it. The halftime is normally just like dead time. It will just show like highlights from the first half. There's not any like halftime discussion like there would be on Sky Sports or something.
Okay. That is kind of thing that will probably hopefully change
in the future. For sure.
That's where you can use that Opta data as well. But accounts like yourselves and things like that on Twitter, they're key to getting Venezuelan football fans like interested in data, I guess. If you have those tools yourself in things like, and viz and graphics, then that's probably the way to seed those kind of things. And that's what our Opta channels try to do on Twitter as well. So hopefully an educational thing over time. It's not something that happens overnight. It was something that takes years of really work behind the scenes. But I'm sure that the guys in our LATAM office are really keen to be getting stuff out of it, because we've seen that success in those countries like Colombia, Ecuador, Argentina especially, where I remember 5 or 6 years ago in Argentina, the use of data was kind of laughed out of the room. If you were to go into a broadcaster, and it was more kind of old school, where they're like, well, we don't need data. We can see it with our own eyes. We know what's happening. But now that's changed massively. And I think that coverage across the world, like seeing FIFA at the World Cup, for example, using all of those data metrics, is becoming a lot more kind of a worldwide phenomenon to use data and statistics in sport for analysis.
So away from Venezuelan football, but still within Opta, obviously there's the Opta power rankings, but are there other ways for the public to engage with the data? Because obviously to access the data that we've been talking about, we're talking about the data that the media, marketing and club side are going to have access to. But for like the fan, how can the everyday fan engage with like Opta's data?
Venezuelan league, not so easy at the moment. I think FB Ref probably has our Opta data on there. They seem to have it for most leagues. So you should be able to access all of the data on there. On Opta Analyst, we have our stat hubs. That covers the major leagues across Europe. It covers MLS. It covers, I think, Saudi League now as well, because obviously Cristiano Ronaldo is there. We have English football leagues and things on the data if you want. If Venezuelan fans were interested in the top 5 European leagues, Champions League, etc., that data is there. Mm-hmm. There's some nice visualizations on there as well. But yeah, for the Venezuelan league, I think FB Ref is one to use. It uses Opta data, so it should be something they can get their hands on as well. But hopefully the media and clubs will have access to all of the Opta tools.
Yeah, and for what kind of data will the average fan be able to find for Venezuelan football on FB Ref?
Everything that you can find for the Premier League, it should be on there. I'm actually just having a look now, because I have no idea what they have on there, but they usually have everything that we cover. So yeah, it looks like if they don't have it now, then they will have it sooner rather than later.
Nice. Well, even for the English. And if somebody wants to engage with the data that Opta have, is it, can you, in the same way that you can buy a Y Scout subscription or an Instat subscription, can you buy like an Opta subscription for Liga Footvay?
Unfortunately not. No, it's a kind of not really a fan facing business, I guess, in terms of having those kind of things available like Y Scout, etc. Although that could change in the future. We are trying to expand into that a little bit more. That was the first stage with theanalyst.com and having data available to people. So that might be something in future that is available. But for now, no, unfortunately not.
No worries. But clubs in general, like around the world, more clubs than don't have access to Opta, would you say?
Yeah, a lot of them will have access to multiple data providers, really. We have a lot of relationships with clubs across the world.
Because Y Scout and Instat, for example, are no longer covering Liga Footvay at all. Like, you can't even get, like, you know, the goals and assists. Like, it's just nothing.
Why is that? What happened there?
Well, I, from what I understand, is even though there was one year left on the contract with Instat, cancelled it a year prematurely due to their acquisition by Huddle. Okay. Huddle, being American owned, cited, you know, the embargo against Venezuela and just went, okay, ciao, bye, nothing more.
Okay. We're American owned.
Yeah.
But yeah. Wow. It doesn't matter to us.
But yeah, well, it's, you know, to be honest, like it's that excuse gets like it gets picked up and discarded as it seems to suit people. Like it's an easy thing to just go, oh yeah, it's not our fault, we're not allowed. It never gets applied in a consistent way. So it doesn't surprise me at all. I didn't realize you're American owned. It doesn't surprise me at all to hear that.
Yeah. Well, for yourself, etc., if you ever need any Venezuelan data or viz, etc., just have to get in touch and I'll try and help you out a little bit there.
You're going to regret that. But no, thank you so much for joining. It's been insightful. It's been, well, I didn't realize you were up to Joe, but it's been really cool for me on a personal level to speak to somebody who I spent hours for. I managed a men's football team from the age of like 16. And I was just like obsessed with that kind of thing. And the storytelling is what I think really marks Opta out as different. And I really hope we start to see that in the social media of League of Football, be it Instagram, which is much bigger here than Twitter when it comes to football coverage. So thank you again. I really appreciate it. And hopefully you yourself will become at least mildly interested in League of Football.
I'll try, yeah. I'll add it to my list of leagues to keep watching.
Yeah, I can't imagine the amount of football you have to watch. But now I watch like when I watch like an English league game, because I'm a Southampton fan and a big Southampton fan too. But like, I've not watched a Southampton game since Christmas. Like I think
I'm
New
not
Year's
surprised.
Day.
You don't want to watch them at the moment,
no,
mate.
New Year's Day, I decided like we're relegated. I'm not gonna waste my time. Like I watch enough football without waking up at 7 a.m. to be crying into my tea at 9 a.m. So that was that. Again, thank you very much, Matt. I've really enjoyed this. Episode will be out next Wednesday, and I really look forward to it. Thank you.
Cool. No worries, John. Thanks.